This is the Beat Your Genes podcast, and my name is Nate Gee. I've created this podcast to bridge together the science of evolutionary psychology and the clinical experience of Dr. Doug Lyle and Dr. Jen Hawk, all so that we can discover what life is all about. In each episode, Dr. Lyle and Dr. Hawk analyze and explain the psychology behind real-life situations from our listeners on topics like romance, friendship, work, family, health, and many, many more. A new episode comes out every other Wednesday at 8:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And if you'd like to call in and leave a voicemail question or comment to be read on the show, the U.S. number is 714-900-2601. Or send it in through the website, www.beatyourgenes.org. All right, good evening, everybody. It's Nate G here, along with Dr. Jen Hawk and Dr. Doug Lyle with the Beat Your Genes podcast. Dr. Hawk, Dr. Lyle, how are things going in your worlds?
Pretty good. How are things? How are things up in Seattle, Jen?
They're good. It's a little rainy and chilly, you know.
Oh, well.
It's nice. Nice. The thing about it being rainy and chilly most of the time is that when you get a really nice day, you really appreciate it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's good.
Contrast effect.
Kind of like being on a water fast.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. It's a dopamine fast, right?
That's or, it. Or
nature's pleasant fast.
Exactly.
Oh my, good.
Well, what's new in the conspiracy world, guys? Last time we talked, you guys went for the whole show and we loved it. I mean, I got a couple emails. One was asking for sources, and one was asking for, you know, just a little bit argumentative, but mostly positive. So it was kind of fun to hear you guys talk about it.
I think we mentioned the main source in that last show was just Nick Wade's piece, which people can find. But there have been some others since then, so we can put those on the website or elsewhere.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm going to let you go, Doug, because I have a small dog situation I need to attend to, so why don't you go ahead.
Ah, good. Okay. So, this way she's not implicated.
Clever. Just like my sister always had to go to the bathroom after dinner when it was time to do dishes.
Right. There you go. The
just being a very bad dog.
I think that the more I read about this, of course, I'm kind of entertained in watching this. I've got some concerns, and I also have a lot of hope. So I'm having a lot of different reactions, and I think the one of the things about it is I'm probably more. I was feeling pretty well on hold and kind of bored with coronavirus and just waiting for it to wash itself out. And now it turns out, you know, just like a good novel, just when you thought you knew how things might just get boring, it gets all exciting all over again. So now we're watching the press suddenly say, oh my goodness, you know, wait, maybe we can't rule out the lab leak, which I think is hilarious. We can rule out everything but the lab leak. In other words, it's definitely a lab leak. And for those of you that are interested, you can look up not only obviously the article by Nick Wade, but also by what was that, Jen? What do you call that? An op-ed or something in the Wall Street Journal? With Stephen Quay.
Qualifies as an op-ed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so he and a Berkeley physics professor, I don't remember the man's name, but the two of them wrote a synopsis of the evidence that makes it exceedingly clear beyond any shadow of any doubt that this was a created virus. It's actually absurd to even contest it at this point. But this is all what you're watching now, in my judgment, is a bunch of fascinating grandstanding and posturing that's going on all over the world. And as basically people are now pretending, you'll watch Fauci and his friends all pretend like, oh, my goodness, it could be, you know, we can't rule it out. We're going to need to do an investigation.
More funding, right?
yeah, more funding. So that's one thing. Of course, that's one part of the show. But the more I think about this, and the more I've read about it, the more I see several possibilities. The possibility that it was jumped from animal to human, I rate that as zero. One mathematician has it at 1 in 13 billion. Just in case you wanted to know if somebody's actually punched some numbers on this.
Telling us there's a chance.
There's a chance. Exactly. See, now there's somebody talking like this. They got some openness in their nervous system. That's not zero.
No, it's not zero. It's just 1 in 13 billion. It's like you finding the right guy that has a special message for you somewhere in South America, and his name's Juan. Go try to find the right one. Yeah. Well, see how that is.
What are the odds of that happening to me multiple times in every country I ever went to?
So anyway, this is a created virus. It's very clear. Any geneticist that looks at this, all the geneticists who've said opposite have been on the take. They've been basically amazingly what these guys did. As soon Fauci, it was immediately recognized that this was an engineered virus. And what these guys did was Fauci immediately knew that he was going to be implicated because he had been funding research in that lab on coronaviruses and their alterations to make them infectious to humans. He's been preaching about this for 20 years. He's been extremely interested in it. And so he knew damn well what had happened. And so as a result, what happened is these guys circled the wagons with a secret meeting, and then they put together a big list of big shots in biology and pushed their way and got the Lancet to publish this couldn't possibly be anything other than a natural thing, which was total bullshit. And they knew it at the time. This was a secret handshake, and these guys did not disclose their conflicts of interest. There's incredible conflicts of interest. The guy who was the dude that got the money from Fauci and funneled it to China was on this thing. He was actually the ringleader. So to say that you were not that you had no conflicts of interest is like unbelievable. It's like OJ doing his own investigation. Then it gets better. The Dr. Xi, the one that did the research in China, printed, I believe it was in Nature. So they got these people can get access to the top journals that impresses everybody. When she published, she neglected to put in the gene sequence that was the gene sequence that they inserted into the virus that would have been recognized by anybody that is up to speed on that issue about how the gene splicing is done. So she just decided to not make a note
totally
of that.
Totally accidental. Sure.
Just so happens that they left that out of there. I think it's the CGG or GGC. I can't remember what it is. But the
it's a longer sequence than that. But yeah, I think it's 9 or something.
Yeah, whatever it is. Yeah. It's a gene sequence that just so that people understand, it's been identified long since as a gene sequence that you can stick into a coronavirus to make it more susceptible for humans. And it's never been found in a natural coronavirus anywhere. And it just so happens it was found in this virus. And it just so happens that they left that out when they published in Nature.
I mean, God bless peer review.
God, yeah, it's like nothing like having Nature and the Lancet actually back you up. And so what you have then is probably essentially a reasonably honest press corps who is heavily motivated, obviously, against Trump to say, oh, no, this is no lab leak. What a terrible thing to say. This is a racist thing against Chinese people. This is this was all bullshit. This was the guys that were guilty covered this up very clearly. And now finally, a year later, and now we finally have enough facts put together by people like Quay and then obviously Nick Wade, that and Nick Wade's voice, as I'm watching, has shaken the trees, so that an awful lot of totally honest, you know, left-leaning journalists are saying, wait a minute, okay, we know this guy, and this is scary as hell, and now everybody's upset. So now you're watching the whole thing turn towards, oops, looks like it could have been a lab leak. Well, that I am concerned. I mean, if that's true, if it turns out that that's what happened, then I'm super happy. And the reason why I'm super happy is not because this fiasco resulted in several million people dead early, but I'm happy that this was as bad as it got, and that this will give rise to an awful lot more government detail and scrutiny, et cetera, on this kind of research. It will probably reduce the likelihood of lab leaks like this in the future, et cetera. So if it turns out that this is what happened, then this could be one of the best things, i.e. the old story that the worst thing that happened is the best thing that could have happened. That's a possibility. However, there's another serious possibility that, of course, is considered...
Everyone needs to adjust your tinfoil hat. Buckle up.
Yeah.
I'm at the edge of my seat.
Yeah, there's another very serious possibility. Now, the same scientist that told us a year ago that she saw the gene splicing in Wuhan, she knew this virus, and she said, no, this was created. And was shouted down, buried by the articles in Nature and The Lancet, and by the entire World Press Corps, etc. She was right. Okay, and so now she's saying something else. So this is a Chinese doctor, PhD, MD, big shot, big publication record. This is no joke. And this gal says, guess what? This was not a leak. Okay. This was a planned release. Now that is a whole different story, okay? And that story is there's reasons for this. It may not be true, but it may be true. And it is not crazy at all, and it's not far out. Now, Fauci was just asked about this, I believe, yesterday. And he said, oh, that's pretty far out. Like, what would they do?
It's pretty far out. Yeah. Pretty far-fetched, I think, is what he said.
Release?
He didn't deny it.
No, he didn't deny it. It's very interesting.
And he didn't very strongly, he didn't say, oh, there's no chance that's true. He kind of did that very clever, you know, it's the kind of thing where once you've got the tinfoil hat on, you're sort of like, why isn't this a more muscular sort of refusal of this hypothesis? You know, he's going to just chuckle and say, oh, well, that's pretty crazy for you to even suggest that.
Yeah.
Okay. Take it as you will.
Yeah. My thinking is the following. The notion here is that there's a lot of pieces to this. This starts making, you know, our favorite show, House of Cards, look like a Girl Scout picnic.
I can't get House of Cards out of my head the last couple of weeks. Like, it's just like, oh man, what would Frank Underwood do? You know, it's like all of this. You just see Frank Underwood everywhere you look.
It is. I have to tell you, Jen, I haven't talked to you about this, but I've actually had a different set of thinking about Fauci in the last 48 hours. And that is that I was, you know, irritated about him, about being obviously a smooth-faced liar, you know, for the last year. Obviously.
Oh, no, if anything, he's a pawn.
Yeah, I actually have a feeling that this is, what I'm learning is that obviously he and many others have had their opinions, and there's been substantial, even public debate about this among top-level scientists, where his attitude has been, listen, forget the natural stuff, which of course you'd be worried about. But what they've been worried about is the manufacture of coronaviruses that could be lethal as bioweapons. And so they wanted to do gain-of-function research so that they could look through and see and understand the possibilities and understand how to figure out how to vaccinate, essentially figuring out how on earth to be prepared. And so Fauci, I believe, as he said, it would have been a dereliction of duty on his, you're watching him leak some of his feelings and thoughts, where he's saying it would be a dereliction of duty not to be basically in bed with the Chinese doing research on coronaviruses, because that's where they are. This is where the coronaviruses are. They know more about coronaviruses than everybody else. They've got all these bats. They've identified a whole slew of them. And essentially, I think the notion, now I'm totally mind reading, but what do I care? It's our wacky podcast. If I were Fauci, I mean, I could see Fauci being essentially a pawn in a Frank Underwood game that stars the president of China, where essentially Fauci says, listen, we want to be in here with you in case some terrible, shitty regime like Iran or somebody gets a hold of a coronavirus and manipulates it, which we know we can because we can do it. And so it's just a matter of time before some shit, third-rate nut gets a hold of this and could spring it on the world. We need to be prepared for that possibility. And so let's work together. That is totally reasonable from one point of view until you understand. Because if you're dealing with Dr. Xi and you're dealing with a bunch of Chinese scientists, you're not dealing with the sociopaths. The sociopath is the head of the Communist Party. That's who that is. That's who's running that show. Who do you think got to the top of that immense dominance hierarchy? And so it's entirely plausible that there's little elements in here that I'm, of course, putting things together. I'm speculating like crazy, and I'm openly admitting it. The best case scenario.
Just like the intrepid reporters at the Washington Herald. If our listeners haven't watched House of Cards, it's worth watching. It's horrendous, but amazing.
Yeah.
Especially the first three, I guess the first four seasons are really solid.
Yes.
Yeah.
So
yeah. Then it kind of gets really weird.
Right.
But yeah. The Washington Herald is sort of the opposition. It's the mainstream, but still kind of opposition paper that feels like Underwood's just up to something.
Right. And that's exactly how I feel. And so
yeah.
I feel like, okay, let's look at this. This is it's just too smooth to, if this isn't how it is, it should be. So let's look at this. So the Chinese, the Chinese people, by the way, when I talk about the Chinese, if I use derogatory sounding noises.
Oh, yeah. This has gotten people in trouble before. You're
right.
You're talking about the government.
I'm talking about the communist government of China. I'm not talking about the billion slaves that they have, the captives there. I'm talking about the Communist Party. I'm not even talking about the 95 million, quote, Communist Party members that have been tapped on the forehead as the good little communists. I'm talking about the people in power. That's who I'm talking about. These are ruthless, vicious dictators. And so... And obviously, the human rights atrocities that are perpetrated by these people are well known, and the press wouldn't deny it. They're just not paying any attention to it. These are the descendants of Genghis Khan. That's who you're looking at here. You're talking about unbelievably ruthless people. Just as Putin is a ruthless bastard. That guy has got KGB written all over his forehead, and so these are people that are, I mean, we have people like that in this society, but they run big tech firms.
Yeah. They can get really rich.
You know what I mean? They're not slaughtering people and imprisoning people. They're just, censoring them. That's fair. That's reasonable. We can have lawsuits and we can get buried by them, but we're not going to get killed. But the story here, to me, looks very plausible and may not be true. And I, like I said, I hope it's not true. I hope that this was merely a bunch of scientists, who are a lot of people around the world probably working on similar stuff. And it turns out that, they messed around with this coronavirus and they put the little receptors on the rats. And then some rat got the coronavirus and it sneezed and somebody got it. Okay. And because it was already got, he had human receptor sites put into it. So all has all it needs is a rat to sneeze. Somebody breathes it, they get coronavirus, and kaboom, the whole world has it. So hopefully that is what happened. And if that happened, it is plausible that everything that you've seen in reaction to this could make sense. The Chinese basically say, no, the World Health Organization, the United States, no international commission, nobody's coming in here. You guys can all go to hell, okay? And all the records are burned, and the scientists that reported this were rounded up, and oh, gee, they're dead from coronavirus. Sorry about that. It's like, this is true. This is how is what has gone down. And so they have basically, you know, burned the boat. There's nowhere to, you know, there's no way you're going to get anything clean out of there. There will be no investigation. You can forget it. Now, that is not anything other than that. I mean, the two hypotheses, like forget the natural hypothesis. There's two hypotheses. Hypothesis number one is accidental lab leak, and that country would be extremely embarrassed by this. And the United States also would be embarrassed by this, our head people, because they're implicated. That means Francis Collins at the NIH and Anthony Fauci, the infectious diseases. So including then, you got the World Health Organization, they're you know, complicit, and the CDC is complicit. So everybody winds up circling the wagons, lying like crazy, blaming some bat in a wet market. And, you know, I mean, that's exactly what you're going to do. And just wait for the whole thing goes away. We get a hold of a vaccine, you know, and suddenly it's behind us, and everybody, you know, no screws got lost loose in the street. Well, they're loose. So now we could have that could be what the issue is. At which point, I would say, of course, it's been an incredibly expensive human and financial disaster, but that's okay. In other words, life goes on, and we wind up, you know, with much greater international scrutiny and force on this kind of research and on the Chinese, et cetera. In other words, the whole thing, we probably get one notch safer than we were before the crisis. Okay, so it doesn't mean that we're safe. It just means we were more vulnerable than we knew. And it turns out that now we are taking steps after the horse has left the barn to make sure that the next horse doesn't leave the barn. So that would be the best of all possible scenarios. A more chilling scenario is that this was actually planned. And there are reasons that are fairly obvious about why it could have been planned. That you have to remember that the last thing that the Chinese would have wanted was Donald Trump elected in 2016. And so as of late 2019, Trump was in going into 2020, he was a massive front runner. The United States economy was booming, and it was going to be exceedingly difficult to defeat Trump in that election. Except what if you had a coronavirus? What if you they had been thinking in a very sophisticated fashion about how to release a lethal coronavirus on the world. This is written up clearly with top Chinese officials written in a book in 2015. So this was a very important text for them. This wasn't just kicking some ideas around. This was a very big deal. And the plan was, if we did this, we could do massive disruption to their economy. We could basically undermine and overwhelm their health system. This is what they were thinking. Okay. Now, I don't know, and I hope that our CIA isn't like writing stuff like this up and planning to do shit to other countries. You know, I hope not. I mean, maybe we are.
Of course they are.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't know what. I don't know. Hopefully, it's in retaliation. Okay, but look at this. So this is not out of line, and this is what our little doc says. That chirped up a year ago. She's saying, oh no, this, she's saying actually they are misleading people about where they even got the bats from. They're completely misdirecting you even now. And essentially the concept here, which is a very interesting one, is that the wet market animal to human was the first level of bullshit. and they were going to defend that, and they knew they'd get tremendous defense from the West because they knew little guys like Fauci and Collins were implicated, and that they would rise up, and they had a tremendous amount of control over journals, you know, Nature, Lancet, God knows what else. Okay, so at that point, they knew that that would hold the line for some period of time. Then guess what? Then it turns out, oh, well, if it starts to leak out and the world's virologists, a few of them, speak up and say, hey, guess what? The gene sequences don't, this doesn't fit. This is all bullshit. Okay? This is clearly an engineered virus. And Stephen Quay basically is a big, big time guy. He's published, his publication rate in Science is in the top 1% of all scientists in the world. So this guy is a big time dude. And he's coming along and he analyzes the whole thing and says, this is complete BS. This is very definitely a laboratory virus. Now, he's not saying anything, not even a peep, about the idea that it would have been released on purpose. That's nowhere near Quay's argument. It's nowhere near Nick Wade's argument, because that this is highly speculative. But this is this little doc chirping up, this little Chinese defector saying, no, it was on purpose. Okay? And when we realize, she's saying that not because she has any inside dope, but she had seen that 2015 publication Inside China. And it's like, oh, this was an interesting plan. This was, plan was taken extremely seriously. When would you unleash such a plan? She also said they knew that if they engineered the virus to kill off 10% of the population, the whole world would figure out very quickly that it was engineered. But if it only killed off 2% or less, they wouldn't. And so it would pass more muster as a possible animal-to-human transmission. Now, so let's just think about this. You're the head of the Chinese government, you and your thug buddies, and you're smarter than hell, okay? And you're looking at the situation where the guy with the orange hair doesn't like you and he doesn't trust you, okay? And you're and so things have gotten more difficult. He's constantly threatening to slap tariffs on your stuff. He's basically a pain in the ass, okay? And so you don't like him, and he doesn't particularly like you. And, you know, all is not, you know, he's not going quietly, and he's not just going along with the plan, which is for you to just keep seeping your way in and getting greater and greater control over U.S. economic and biological and everything else situations. And so you decide, you know what, this guy's got to go. And you know what, you're the head of the Communist Party in China, for God's sake. You guys can do this. How are you going to do it? Well, that's what we've already gamed this thing out 5 years ago. This would be a perfect time to do it. We don't want 4 more years of this SOB. Let's go ahead and let it go. And a guy like Fauci, you know, for him, it's essentially unimaginable that you would do anything like that and to spring it on your own people, because you're not going to be able to stop it. But that's because Anthony Fauci isn't a sociopath. Okay, he may be a bad guy. He may have some, he may have some bad, you know, bad genes in there that we wouldn't like the looks of if we got too close to it. But he's not like that. There's no way. Okay, so I can see that essentially they had gamed this chess game one move past where the Faucis and the Collinses had thought it through. And the one move past is that actually the accidental lab leak from Wuhan is in fact the cover story, okay? So when people, it's like having your treasure under the treasure chest. It's like you dig, and you get to the treasure chest and you open it, you're like, wow, this is the treasure. We found it, it's $27,000 in here. Oh my God, let's go party. And it's like, oh, you don't realize the real treasure is underneath it and you didn't even look for it. Okay, so this seems to me to be highly plausible. So I hope not. I hope that their little thing that they so very carefully gamed out and wrote about and had multiple major officials in China work on this plan about how it is that they could spring an engineered coronavirus on the world, and that they could do so in a way that would cause tremendous disruption, civil unrest, and undermine the health system of other countries. Interesting. What other countries would they want to do this to? Oh, maybe Belgium. Oh, sure, I bet Belgium's a threat to them. Oh, how about Mexico? Oh, I'll bet Mexico's a threat. Are you kidding me? They knew exactly, if you wanted to disrupt somebody's economy and you wanted to unseat a political force, what would you do? Okay? So to me, this is entirely reasonable. And I believe that it is considered reasonable in Washington. And I will say this, because a very interesting thing happened, I think, today. It was, I think they're voting on it tomorrow, which is Tuesday. You guys are hearing this Wednesday, a day late. One of the more heartening things, as my brain has been swirling around and trying to put this thing together, was to read Chuck Schumer, as was quoted, I think, in a New York Times article yesterday.
It was the New York Times, yeah. Right. Yeah, it's amazing.
Now, this is something else. I wish I had it in front of me. Maybe Jen can look it up or whatever. Chuck Schumer.
I can probably find it.
Chuck Schumer is obviously a very left progressive. He's the head of the Senate. He is, you know, a fierce, obviously, Trump opponent. And he is a relentless left politician. This guy stood up yesterday and said things that made me want to vote for the guy. This
was
like
amazing.
Chilling.
Okay.
Jen, can you read it to people?
Like,
because it is a remarkable statement. Go read it if you can.
Yeah. Yeah. So this is in a New York Times article published yesterday called the headline is Senate Poised to Pass Huge Industrial Policy Bill to Counter China. And the lead is all about how this is one of the few things that there's bipartisan support for in Congress. Blah, blah, blah. You know, U.S. has to improve its position, invest in industry to counter China. And here's Schumer's quote. Around the globe, authoritarian governments smell blood in the water. They believe that squabbling democracies like ours can't come together and invest in national priorities the way a top-down, centralized, and authoritarian government can. They are rooting for us to fail so they can grab the mantle of global economic leadership and own the innovations.
Fantastic.
That
tells me, okay, if Chuck Schumer was not incredibly worried about China, incredibly worried. I'm not worried about him economically. I'm worried about, he's worried. That's military fear right there.
That's geopolitical. Yeah. For someone like Schumer to use that sort of language.
Yes.
I mean, you expect that from a Republican. You don't expect that from Schumer. Yeah.
Not a chance.
Blood in the water.
Blood in the water. And squabbling democracy. You understand what he just said? He said, screw you, you sons of the bitches, who may have, and I believe you probably did, do this on purpose. And if you think that Americans on the left and the right, that they are not my friends, okay? If you don't think that I can shake hands with a Trump supporter and that we can't, that we're not Americans together and we won't defend ourselves against you, you're frickin' wrong. We're gonna do it. Okay? That's calling that us a squabbling democracy is a absolute warm handshake to everybody on the right side of the aisle. And that's exactly what, you know, what I thought about that I can't believe he said that. That was fantastic. That's a man that recognizes, wait a second, there's something an awful lot bigger than my domestic agendas that's going on right now. This is serious shit.
I mean, Schumer, I don't remember if he's on the Intelligence Committee. I think he might be.
Yeah.
But he would know. He certainly has access to the top level of scuttlebutt at any time in Washington. The New York Times I also love. I continue to read it, even though I find it just so difficult to deal with most of the time. But I do appreciate how they have a long-standing tradition of sort of putting a zinger at the end of articles. So you get rewarded for reading all the way through because there's always kind of a WTF moment at the end of an article. Not every time, but often. Yeah. And so it ends with another quote from Todd Young, who's a Republican senator from Indiana, who says we can't be wedded to old doctrines. The world has changed. Our economy has changed. The needs of our country have changed. And so you sort of read that and you're like, This is interesting. Like, yes. The needs of our country have changed. You know, we new shit has come to light.
That new shit has come to light. Yes.
And we're looking at how China is not playing fair on a number of levels. You know, even setting aside this whole hypothesis, their massive industrial investment is, you know, we got to counter it. We got to counter it if we want to remain competitive, let alone dominant, which is more language that Schumer uses. He talks about. You know, what does he say earlier? Something about that these are the areas of dominance we need research in. These are the areas of industrial growth, great job growth. Yeah, well, too bad we're gutting the meritocracy at the same time. But wait, that's a secondary problem.
Yeah, that is a, I tell you what, I was, all of the other stuff that goes on politically is, of course, irritating. And it's like, you know, mosquitoes biting you all the time and it's irritating as hell. But that's the core issue. The core issue is, would we, you know, if you sort of had treated China sort of like you would treat Japan in the 1980s, as they made the point,
very
I think,
much.
In that article. If you
very
say,
similar.
Listen, you're an economic competitor, you could bury us in some industries that are near and dear to our heart, like the auto industry in Detroit. So therefore, we think you're cheating because your country's, you know, diverting resources and propping up those industries. So we don't like what you're doing, and therefore we need to push back and blah, blah. Okay? That has been sort of in the back of a lot of, you know, debates with Republicans and libertarian thinkers about whether you should do anything like that and liberals. This has been like a puzzle about how to manage that sort of thing. Okay? This is an entirely different issue. This is Nazi Germany that you're trading with, okay? This is an aggressive, absolutely determined, massive, dangerous force.
Well, it's an existential threat.
It is,
you know, China does not want a world of bipolar or multipolar power. They want unipolar power, and they want, you know, they don't, we're a thorn in their side.
Yes.
So they'd rather not deal with us. They would like a friendly government that can roll over and do what they want, and make life easier for them. And that's their interest. They're not interested in they're in a position of strength. They are not in a position of weakness like they once were, and they're flexing that, and that should be no surprise. And finally, Washington is sort of like, oh shit. We've been asleep at the wheel for a really long time.
Yep.
Yeah.
We've been asleep at the wheel. And the truth is that hearing that out of Schumer actually, you know, I took a deep breath and I thought, wow, we're, you know, he's saying, hey, we're all Americans. And we love our freedom, and we can squabble about how we should divide the pie, and we can yell at each other and throw tomatoes and do all kinds of stuff, okay? But at the end of the day, don't be freaking killing off our people, okay? And don't think you're going to get world dominance, because we're not going to roll over for this. And that, I'm telling you, that was... So of the two hypotheses I consider those to be, I think those stand alone as two independent hypotheses where there is no middle ground. In other words, this was either, it was leaked from a lab. It's a question of whether it was leaked intentionally or not.
I think there's middle ground. I think the middle ground is that it was accidental or premature to a plan. China went, well, hey, you know, let's not miss the opportunity. Let's make hay while the sun shines. Like, yeah, this isn't maybe not exactly how we would have liked to have, you know, set this whole thing up. We were waiting for a better moment, a bigger target. Yeah. But hey, as long as it's happening, let's not miss our chance to capitalize on it. And they have. I mean, and I think part of what persuades me that's worth thinking through a little more is the degree to which they dialed up the propaganda factor early on.
Yes.
And you know, there were these videos everyone remembers early with people staggering on sidewalks and falling over in the middle of the city. That's like seared on our minds early. Like, oh, this is such a deadly thing. It's going to strike you down in your tracks on the sidewalk. You're going to seize your chest and fall to the ground. And so there was a lot of this early fear that got stirred up that was coming directly from China. And all of the WHO recommendations and all of the sort of exaggeration, and the only way to deal with this is a complete lockdown. Look at us. We've sealed up our apartment buildings. You know, this we're doing this right. And then this triumphant, you know, we did it right by completely closing down, and therefore you should too. Mm-hmm. And yeah. If that's all a smokescreen, it's a very effective way to absolutely hold back your competitors while you're laughing all the way to the bank, which is what they've done. I mean, China has been largely unscathed by this in terms, you know, just in part just because of their huge numbers, and in part because they lie about their numbers.
Yeah.
But I can completely see a scenario by which the central party sat around and said, you know, we're going to let a few of our elders go a little early.
Sure.
Easy come, easy go. You got to break a few eggs to make an omelet. You know, like what?
Oh, yeah.
They don't have a problem, you know, with millions or tens of millions of their citizens being expended in any particular political program.
No.
So I can see this as not necessarily being an evil backroom scheme, but a really opportunistic, whether it was something that they were thinking might be deployed, you know, and weaponized at some point or not. I don't know. What is the document? What is the book that she talks about that this was written up in? Is this a party document or what was this?
Yeah, I believe so. This is also, it's been authenticated by some CIA hotshot, or, you know, in other words, an American securities expert. So,
but they spitball things all the time. We spitball crazy things all the time. So there can be confirmation bias, like, oh,
sure,
look at this crazy plan that somebody, you know, gamed out a scenario 15 years ago. Like, that just by the odds, there's going to be some overlap.
Very true.
Yeah.
But it's also, I have to say that it was a very politically opportune time for this to go down.
For sure.
Okay,
yeah.
So this is
know there was no love lost.
No,
yeah.
No love lost. And I think people easily forget that at that period of time, it was exceedingly unlikely that Trump would have been beaten with that economy.
Oh, yeah, people completely forget how high he was riding. And just looking at it as a political scientist, I mean, I'm sure we can go back to episodes at that time where he's got every advantage that we've identified in political science. He's got the incumbency advantage. He's tall. He's got the expensive wardrobe. He's got the alpha status, like the what's that, Nate?
I thought all the bellwether countries, they've almost always predicted
the bellwether states. Yeah. It was pretty much a fait accompli for you know, the whole year running up until COVID was unleashed one way or another.
Yeah.
So, and I don't think you can, there's no scenario by which a sitting president loses 500,000 of their citizens in an election year and survives that election. I mean, if they knew that was a likely consequence, they knew the United States would not be able to. This is all hypothetical.
Sure.
I'm not at all. I don't know if this is the case or not. But if they sort of looked at the situation and they knew its fatality rate and they knew the likely scenario, they also know the United States is not like Australia. It's not like, not that Australia is an authoritarian country, but it's got a different culture that's tolerant of extended lockdowns in a way that the U.S. clearly is not. So they know it's going to be this half-assed, you know, patchwork quilt of lockdowns and that the virus is basically going to have its way with the country one way or another. They know that looks like 500,000 dead. Mm-hmm. And they know that that's not survivable for an incumbent president. So there you go. I mean, it's like, that's a very,
very
a nice little tool to have in your hand to get a regime that is a little friendlier to you.
Sure.
So, well, it's fair is fair. I mean, Russia installed Trump, so China installs Biden. I mean, come on.
Yeah. So I think that we don't, you know, this is going to be some interesting digging. And I was, like I said, looking at Schumer and this bill that they're talking about, this makes me feel like that there's some serious fear and anger directed at China now, coming from the left that I don't think that we've seen. And I can't remember. I think Biden, amazingly, in an executive order here in the last week, said you can no longer invest in any companies that in any way money is directed at the Chinese military. Now, that may be basically a toothless tiger or not. But the truth of the matter is, it's a very interesting statement. Okay, that almost now I'm talking way past the evidence, but that can be foreshadowing what he knows, that he cannot stop the American press, that there will be leaks, and that if it turns out that this was in fact that the next wave of hypotheses that comes and cannot be dismissed is that this was a planned strategy on the part of China. And now you have that sitting as an unbelievable turd in the international punch bowl. Like, what are you going to do? Well, if you're Joe Biden, what you're going to do is you're going to say, well, we're doing some tough things, like, you know, you can't invest here, you can't invest there, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. In other words, we're not going to start firing shots at them, for God's sakes. We're not interested in that. But we want to start signaling antipathy. Yes.
It's a new Cold War.
It's a new Cold War.
Or it's an extension of the long-running Cold War that we've still been in with Russia. And really every bit of the Soviet/communist bloc. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, nothing really new, just new new tricks, new rules.
Well, I have to say something else that's disturbing. And that is that you've seen these two big hacks, these ransoms for the meat. And it's like, whoa, you're starting to get the idea here that if the Chinese put bioweapons on the table, and you're only scratching the surface. These little hacks are nothing. These are little profiteering individuals. And you know that the Chinese government is unbelievably up to its ears in figuring out how to hack our... We have, you know, this open society with all kinds of freedom and our communications and all this sort of thing. What happens when they, you know, when they have plotted very carefully a takedown? This is disturbing. And I think that it just sort of to circle my thinking, I think this is part of my natural personality, is that I'm inherently optimistic. That is true. And so I look at this and I say, you know what? I feel like the most important thing for me is that the leadership in the United States government is actually informed, that they are aware, that they are alert, and that they're concerned. And Schumer's quotes to me that I couldn't have anticipated this in my own nervous system. But those quotes to me both made me feel proud, and also, even though I'm certainly concerned about the future of the world with that level of possible threat, if that is what happened, but I'm also, I feel essentially our government will steel itself, and I think that we will defend ourselves. And as long as we are working diligently. And now, you know, this brings back, you know, increase the CIA's budget. You know what I mean? This is kind of what we're talking about, is that we don't just
busy. They need extra money to hire with all those people who have been diagnosed with generalized anxiety disorders.
Yeah.
Yes. Maybe they're the ones who planned this.
Yeah. But no, the thing is that instead of looking at China as another Japan that we trade with and we're annoyed that they may build things cheaper, et cetera. No, you got to look at them as Nazi Germany. And you got to be extremely careful. If they're making the ball bearings for your planes, you're screwing up. You can't do that. Okay?
Well, they are, though.
I understand.
They're making everything. Yes. And they are. And they control our money. And they, I mean, we're really not in a great position of power.
Right.
So you can't come at them like the U.S. went at the Soviet Union or at Nazi Germany, for that matter, where it's like, hey, we're the police officers of the globe here, and you need to stand back because your aggression will not be tolerated. Like, we're just not in that position. I mean, this is a whole new ballgame. These guys are... They're playing at a different level. And so it is, there's a lot more You know, and there's a lot of like, I mean, all of the cultural tropes of shows of strength and losing face and all of that. There's something to that. There are big cultural differences in the way that we manage our politics and they manage theirs. And we demonstrate patriotism and they demonstrate patriotism. And I, a lot of that sensitivity is important. And they have nukes and they have, have a huge population. And, you know, it's complicated. It's really tricky. And without them, we're hosed. I mean, we really need China right now. So, and at the same time, we've got a human capital problem that's getting worse by the day. I mean, we have been sabotaging our meritocratic human capital process for, you know, quite a while now. And they are doing the opposite. They're investing in education and, you know, siloing people where they belong industrially and educationally and rewarding excellence. Yeah. And we are on this opposite track of, I mean, there's Bloom, with the thing I sent you the other day in the Bloomberg Wire about like a serious opinion piece about if we really want equality in colleges, we should just do admissions by lottery, like throw out the admissions process. Like, let's just have lottery. Like you start to have that kind of conversation in the US, you're trying to assert your competitiveness relative to ascendant China. Like, good luck. You're not like, you got to specialize in something else, dudes. Like, cause you're not going to be playing at the same game, not the same game at the same table as those guys.
Scary. Disturbing, really scary. But at least I feel like I come
they're
away
buying
with
up
this...
all our land too, by the way, as long as we're being paranoid. They're buying huge tracts of Western land.
Oh,
so, you know,
interesting.
You should buy a little American property if you can.
Yeah, well, it's only American property if your military can defend it.
Right, yeah. You
know? So the yeah, anyway, this is a cheerful discussion.
Very cheerful.
But but like I said, I think the thing to worry about is not if it's a lab leak or not. That would be the good side. The thing to worry about if it was an intentional leak. Okay. That we have to worry about. I think it is worth worrying about, and I think that I think the leadership of the country is very worried about that. And I think they are doing a soul search right now, saying, wait a minute, i.e. the war starts when they say it starts, not when we say it starts. Okay?
Right.
If you look at this as a Pearl Harbor, it's like, whoa. It's like, oh, you know, it's Pearl Harbor, but you don't even know it's Pearl Harbor. You know what I mean? We say that, you know, we dropped those bombs on your aircraft carriers by accident. You know, we don't even know where they came from. They were natural phenomenon. Oh, well, no, actually, they weren't natural phenomenon. They did come out of our planes, but
intelligence. We thought it was the Nazis. We were confused.
We were confused. We didn't know where we were. I mean, this is if you look at it from this perspective, that in fact it's Pearl Harbor, but you don't quite know that it's Pearl Harbor. And I could see a guy like Anthony Fauci as a classic dupe in a House of Cards episode, where he's playing along with them because he's working with them in order
Peter
to try.
Peter Russo.
Yeah, he's Peter Russo. He's like working with them because they want to work together with the best scientists in the world, where the action is on coronavirus, to make sure that we all prepare ourselves against some third world thug. And it's like, whoa, what if they double cross you, dude?
And you're in the car with the gas hose on.
Yeah. What if they double cross you? Because now your hand's in the cookie jar, and what are you going to do? You're going to immediately go full force on what is their true cover story. And their real cover story is, it leaked out of our lab by accident. Oh, yeah, that's the big treasure chest you're supposed to discover. And you're supposed to miss the one underneath it, which is that, no, that isn't the treasure. Now, the treasure's still hidden. And it's the fact that we did it on purpose, and it's the first shot of Pearl Harbor. Now, I think that our leadership is wide awake to that now, okay? Embarrassed, vulnerable, scared, and also, though, they have some guts, and they've got money, and there's a lot of power. And the United States is you know, an immensely powerful force. And, you know, you don't want to take us on straight up. You want to sneak. Okay. You want to do it sneaky. That's how you want to do it. And so now I think, once again, sometimes the worst thing that happens is the best thing that could happen. If this steals the resolve of the left and the right to meet in the middle and realize, guess what, guys? You got a lot more problems than some domestic economic squabbling, as, you know, to use Schumer's term. You've got an enemy, and you got to treat it like that, and we got to get ourselves less vulnerable, and we got to get ourselves less vulnerable in a hell of a hurry. Because the war doesn't start when we say it starts. It starts when they say it starts. And we got to be ready. So that's what I think is now being set in motion behind this. And if all they did was release this thing and create just this mess, which is a big, shitty, expensive, deadly mess, you know what? Good. Because now if that will steal our resolve to work in unison on that specific issue, no matter what other issues we fight about, that will save the United States and save freedom. And that, you know, that this could have been actually a major strategic mistake on the part of the Chinese. And I hope that that's, you know, whatever the truth is, I hope that that's how it plays out.
Unless it's just to you know, show us that they can. It's really just a show of strength. It's actually not, they don't care particularly if Trump is reelected or not. He can continue to be a pain in the ass for another 4 years. It's not the end of the world for them.
Right.
But you know, let's just flex a little bit. Let's just show you what kind of chaos we can create. And then we're going to, you know, we're going to do a few of these hacks. We're going to do some other stuff. Mm-hmm. So that's a tension with the rising solidarity that you have in opposition to it, because it's also this show of power. So, it's like, hey, you don't even try to negotiate with us. You're not in a position to negotiate. So he's just like, you know, accept your new overlords, basically.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Man, I know we have a lot of Australian listeners. If I were Australian, I'd be extra pissed off if this is true. Because I had over a year of my life stolen. I know life is back to normal for most Australians, with the exception of Victoria. But you know, the fact that there are people who have not been able to leave, that no one's been able to come in, that you were this hermit kingdom. I know a lot of Australians support that. But the price of total isolation in exchange for this kind of geopolitical tyranny, if it is intentional, or even if it is just sort of opportunistic,
just right, either way,
even an opportunistic, and either way, I would be looking to Morrison to be really, really pissed off, and as everyday Australians should be. So, just my two cents.
Yes,
my all paranoid right. state.
Dr. Lyle, I stand up ready with my hand over, hand in salute, ready for you to deputize me.
Oh, yeah. I actually, I have to tell you that reading Schumer's quotes to me made me feel. It's amazing because I've been irritated ever since I learned who he was a couple of years ago, and now suddenly I feel like, hey, buddy, you know,
finally
we're on the same team. Totally. I totally feel like I'm on the same team with this guy. I feel like we're both Americans, and you know, I disagree about how we're going to spend the tax money, and I can snarl at each other as far as that goes. But hey, you are not backing away and sticking your head in the sand, and you're standing up and saying, hey, we got to do. And you know what? That makes me feel like, okay, fine. This is now. It always was. The whole thing is always entirely out of my hands anyway. But I feel like, okay, I don't have to start figuring out how I'm going to dig a hole somewhere in the woods, you know, outside of Lake Tahoe to survive. That I've actually got an awake national government that is, you know what I mean, that is going to stand up and defend America. So anyway, that's what I'm thinking. So I'm heartened. I'm concerned and have anxiety, but I was actually very much heartened by that, by what I've read. So anyway, I thought that.
You've got all this toxic masculinity, rousing patriotism going on, whereas my female nervous system is like, oh shit, buckle up. You know? let's start stocking canned food in the bunker.
We're stocking up on plant seeds, okay? At least we're compromising.
Someone's got to have the hole in the ground in Tahoe ready when you guys come flee to it after retreat from the front lines.
That's so, right.
All right. Yeah. All right. That's great. All right.
All right, folks.
God bless the USA.
You got it.
All right. Well, thank you for the analysis. We'll look forward. Well, we'll answer some questions next time we get around to
sure.
it.
Sure.
So, I'm sure. All right. Everything's supposed to be opening up. You know, a lot of things are supposed to be opening up next week. So I wonder if we'll have more to say.
Yeah,
I thought that was postponed in California. That was the last time.
Yeah, again, like ruining the party, Jen. No, just kidding.
Right. All that crap has massively less importance to me, even though it is important. But suddenly, that's at the back burner. The domestic squabbles and issues. It's like, no, this is the big one. This is where we needed to be awake and in some degree of solidarity. And I feel like I'm hearing it, which means I know that these guys are scared, and I think they're scared for a damn good reason. So that's what I think is going on, and thank goodness.
Yeah, that doomsday clock. Oof.
Yeah.
Hopefully, don't go past 100 seconds. So.
All right. Yeah. Well, if any listeners want to go in on a yurt compound in Nevada or Montana with me, send me an email. Let's buy 100 acres.
That's it. You got it.
I'm very serious.
Yes. All right.
All right. Have a
BYOY. Bring your own yurt.
All good.
All right.
All right. I'll talk to you guys next time. Should the Republic stand?
Gotcha. All right. We'll see y'all soon.
All right. See you
okay.
Guys.
Bye.
Bye, everybody.
Thanks for listening. If you like what you hear, subscribe, write us a review, or share this podcast with a friend. To send in a question or read more about the show, you can visit our website at www.beatyourgenes.org. Until next time, this is Nate G., Dr. Lyle, and Dr. Hawk with Beat Your Genes, an evolutionary psychology podcast for finding happiness in the modern world.